Whenever you get hurt in a family relationship, and it can be the smallest little thing or the biggest thing, the enemy wants to plant a seed of bitterness in your heart. Okay, that seed of bitterness grows roots of bitterness, and those roots of bitterness grow up to cause trouble. You go to bed with a seed of hurt and roots of bitterness growing, they are going to grow through that night, and they're going to grow up to cause trouble.
Forget the cold. Seems like some of us might find a bitter root in our stocking as we gather for Christmas this season. I'm Kim Weir. This is the Art of Friendship podcast. You know, every family has its hurts. Wounds that come from our relatives can be deeper than all the others. Conflicts within a family can range from daily frictions to annoyances, even to estrangement. We talked about that last week. In fact, we're picking up our conversation. This is part two of a talk we had with Rob Reneau. Rob is the author of Healing Family Relationships, a guide to peace and reconciliation. He's also the founder of Victory Family Ministries, and he's committed to helping bring families together to overcome the hurts. Last week, we talked about some of the big stuff: estrangement, broken relationships, deep places of forgiveness. This week, we're going to talk more about the everyday bumps and lumps that we get by spending time with each other. How do we go through life without getting bitter over the small things? How can we make sure that we're not the ones adding more conflict to a relationship? And these are important things to talk about every single day, but we're going to get a head start since some of us will be gathering with family soon. If you missed part one, be sure to catch it because there are some great principles to apply to every relationship. But let's see what he has to say about the ones closest to home. Let's talk, Rob, about some of the less traumatic and yet still disruptive broken relationships that of the people that, yeah, they're in our life regularly. We haven't broken relationship with them, and yet they're difficult. There are hurts. We feel maybe rejected or judged by somebody in our family, and yet they're going to be sitting around our table, or we'll see them at Christmas time or really any other time of year. But this type of season seems to amplify and magnify the hurt of that kind of an experience.
Well, like you said, the holiday times coming up have a way of accentuating those struggles. And maybe your anxiety level is already starting to rise based on who you're going to be talking to or who's going to be in your home. And so at the very least, we do want to start an intentional prayer process of asking God to prepare our hearts and asking Him to work a change in these relationships. You know, Kim, something I'm really guilty of, this is a bit embarrassing, but I will say to Amy, let's say we're dealing with some relationship issue, maybe with one of the kids or a friend, and I'll say, honey, you know, we really need to pray about that. Let's make sure we pray about that. And then I don't actually go pray about it. And the way I work is, you see, because I said, hey, we ought to pray about it, it's almost like I give myself a checkbox that I did pray about it, even though all I did was say I want to pray about it. Is this making any sense?
Yes.
So we have these relationships that we're burdened about, right, with our sibling, with a spouse, or with a child, and we tell ourselves we ought to pray, but the question is, are we actually going to pray? Now, one of the things that Jesus challenges us on, one of the important ways to pray is to pray for your own heart. Here's what I mean. You remember Jesus tells this story. He's talking about two brothers that have a conflict. And he says, you are trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye while there's a log in your own eye. Take the log out of your own eye first, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And what Jesus is talking about is that we are so clear about what other people are doing wrong. That is crystal clear to us, right? We can list all the things you've done wrong, all the ways you've messed up this relationship. But Jesus has got this example with these brothers where the brother's obsessed with the speck in his brother's eye, but there's actually a log in his eye. Now, listen to this. Jesus is saying, this is a little uncomfortable, he's saying, you know what? It's possible that this problem with your brother's more your fault than his fault. You may actually have a log while he's just got a speck. Now, I don't think Jesus's point is to have you figure out what percentage is you and what percentage is him. But the principle there is that we take responsibility for our own contribution first. You know, family conflicts are rarely 100-0 as far as fault goes. Very, very rarely. Sometimes they are, but extremely rarely. Now, I'm not saying everything's 50-50, okay? 60-40, 90-10, I don't know. But whatever your contribution is, we need to ask God. See, we see our family members' sin clearly, but we have a natural blind spot to our contribution. So one of the prayer strategies here is, okay, Lord, things have not been good with my dad for a long time. And God, I know that this is not 100-0. So can you please show me my contribution, either things I've done, not done, said, not said, how am I making this worse, so that I can take responsibility for those things. And if I need to go apologize, even if I'm 1% at fault, taking responsibility for that 1% and asking for forgiveness is a powerful step toward reconciliation.
Had a Bible teacher say once that no matter how unfair a criticism is that comes your direction, how unfounded and outrageous the criticism is, dig deep, because somewhere you will find the root of the root of the root, even if it's just the tiniest bit that you need to own, that let that thing become as big as it is in the eyes of someone else. I thought it was very reminiscent of what you're saying, and certainly resonated in my life. And I've remembered so many times, somebody has said before that this whole idea of taking a speck out of somebody's eye, that is a very intimate activity. You can't do that from a distance. You have to be up close and personal and in their space, very intimate with someone to take a speck. And if you have a 2x4, which is, think about a plank being a 2x4 in your eye, you can't get very close because of the thing in your life that is breaking intimacy, that is keeping you at a distance. I love thinking about it that way too. What part have I played that has kept somebody at a distance, you know, that I need to work on, that I could draw near to them, that I will have been invited into that intimate place in their life? Then in that trusted place would I be allowed, and only then, to reach in and point out a speck in their own eye. Just another way of looking at that. One of the relationships that I think can be very difficult is the in-law relationship. Whether it's you're married and now you're struggling with your mother-in-law or father-in-law, or your children have married and your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law is also a difficult relationship. And yet those are the ones that we, I think, are most likely to just, let's just all agree not to talk about it, because if this thing blows up, I don't see my kid, or I don't see my grandkids, or I'm not going to see my parents, whatever it is. Any particular wisdom on that as we head into this season?
Boy, you set it up pretty well. I mean, those are all explosive. With the parents in law, so this would be, you know, for a couple talking about his parents or her parents, I think the probably central battle or conflict is actually against the marriage relationship. Those conflicts with the mutual sets of parents, the enemy really loves those, to use those to divide the couple. So there has to be a lot of conversation and a lot of prayer between the husband and wife as they're navigating relationships with both sets of parents, to say the top priority here is the two of us staying open, honest, and close together. We are not going to allow conflicts with your parents, conflicts with my parents, to divide us. I'm not saying that's easy to do, or you just flip some magic switch, but to be aware that that's going to be the battle point. It's going to be the division in the marriage relationship. And then regarding children-in-law, now we just started this process. As I said, my oldest, 23, just married a wonderful, godly young woman named Emily. So we have are very blessed to have a daughter-in-law. I've got two kids in college, and the younger ones, of course. So Lord willing, there's going to be lots of children-in-law and grandbabies and all of that coming up. I think we ought to be very careful about raising conflicts or confrontations with adult children. They deserve our respect as adults. So it's got to reach a certain level where we decide we're going to open our mouths and address something. But I think if we do, if we feel like, you know, this is something that rises to that level where we need to talk about it, we've got to become better at preambling. Preambling are the words we say before we say the thing we want to say. So Amy, for I know we're talking about in-laws, but I'll use the example in marriage. Amy will say, honey, there's something I'd like to talk to you about. It's a little uncomfortable for me to bring it up. I'm feeling awkward, and I don't want you to get upset. I'm not trying to attack you right now. I don't want this to come across judgmental. But it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and I'm not sure how to. So she hasn't even actually said anything yet. All she's doing is preambling. But the preamble is very, very important because she communicates her heart to me there. She communicates that she's for me. She communicates that she doesn't want this to hurt me. She communicates that she's saying this to help me. And it helps kind of prepare my spirit to be more receptive to what she's going to say. So I think for parents, as we're dealing with our adult kids, lots more preambling. Hey, listen, I want to bring up a sensitive subject. I don't want this to come across like I'm treating you like a child. I don't want any of this to be disrespectful or judgmental of you. I've been going back and forth about whether to even bring it up. All of that communicates kind of a tenderness of heart, which makes the conversation or success in the conversation much more possible.
Such good wisdom. One of the things that we can be so, talk about preambling, we'll call it life preambling, maybe preventative. What we don't want to do is get in a position where we're actually contributing to breaking relationships. I mean, certainly conflict is going to happen in a family, and working out our conflict is really such a great way to grow and mature ourselves. You have to have a level of maturity and discernment to wisely work through conflict. Are there particular things you talked about with adult kids, one way to keep from breaking things that aren't already broken, to make things worse, is to know what not to get into. Don't interfere in your adult kids' marriage and lives, and let it be something that better rise to a significant occasion. Are there other things about family relationships in general, principles that you've learned that can help us not be the person who adds more broken pieces?
Well, I think that there's a spiritual root. The first thing that comes to mind is recognizing just that God loves your family, and He put your family together on purpose. And we may question that sometimes. Like, some people say, like, look, I am all for family, but this particular combination of people is just not working, right? I don't know what God was thinking putting us all together. But the reason why we can have a hopeful attitude wading into family conflict is this reality that God loves our family, and He loves. I mean, central to the gospel is reconciliation. It's taking broken things, making them whole. That's one of God's favorite things to do. Take broken stuff, put it back together, make it whole in Christ and in mercy and in reconciliation. So if Amy and I, there's things that we've learned, like, for absolute sure. Okay, 26 years, we're still bumbling and stumbling along, but there's things we've learned for absolute sure. One of them is that our good intentions and our willpower are not going to cut it for dealing with our family junk. Okay, we both have good intentions, right? I mean well, she means well, and willpower. She is trying. She's trying to be a good wife and trying to be a good mom. I'm trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good dad. And it just doesn't cut it. It just doesn't get us anywhere. We need the supernatural power of God in our home, in our hearts. We have to be talking to Him and asking Him. Like, I've got to be asking God, God, you've got to make me the husband I'm not. Because if it's up to me and my character and faith, I'm going to be falling short every single day as a husband, as a father. So there has to be, if you're looking for steps forward in your family and reconciliation in your family, a spirit of neediness, in a spirit of desperation, recognizing that, well, it's not you do 1, 2, 3 and have these conversations and say it this way with this tone of voice and everything's going to be fine. It's going to the Lord and asking Him to do a work of healing in these relationships, a healing that only He can do.
Good, wise words. The idea of all of this family coming together at a time in our culture that is so divisive has really found a lot of us on taking sides within a family, taking different sides, which has added this whole additional level of stress. I had a conversation this week with one of my kids. We sort of have this understanding they're young adults and we don't see things eye to eye culturally all of the time. And so for the most part, yeah, a lot of that doesn't come up because we kind of know where we stand. But this child actually brought it up in our conversation, and my response to that was, okay,
Do you really want to talk about this? Do you really want to know what I'm thinking? Just to clarify that I was getting, that is really what you want to hear. And so the conversation ensued and I could feel there being some escalation and taking the responsibility of being the person who then de-escalate to make sure that even things as simple as saying what I need to say with a calm voice and asking questions, was that clear? That kind of thing. These are things that a lot of families are going to deal with in the coming month because people want to talk about the stuff that's on their mind and there are going to be these clashes. Any pieces of input as we come together to keep these relationships the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And that's the people we love, not necessarily the issues we stand for.
Yeah, boy, your preamble right there was phenomenal. How do we communicate to our kids? It's really a we love you no matter what. We're going to be in relationship with you no matter what. We may not agree about things. And take a more extreme. Okay, there's one level of my child has very different politics than me. But what about for the millions of parents that their kids have left the faith? Their kids no longer even consider themselves Christian. There is a spirit and a heart that we need to ask God to give us and to communicate very, very directly to our children. Look, we don't agree about this. We don't see eye to eye on this. We're not on the same page with this. But you need to know I love you. I am committed to you. I am never going to abandon you. No amount of disagreement. In fact, nothing you could really ever do is going to change the fact that I love you and change the fact that I want to be and have a great relationship with you. So some of this, and you're absolutely right, the worldviews, and you can call it politics, but it really is the worldview clashes that are so intense right now in our culture. The enemy is working overtime to divide families over these things and rob young people of their faith through political deception.
Yeah. I love that description. I love you no matter what. Think of all of the circumstances that is a covering for. The power of belonging is so magnetic that it does have a tendency to cover a multitude of wrongs.
All of our kids, just like mom and dad, are sinners who sin. And we need to stop being shocked when our kids, who are sinners who sin, just like us, sin and make mistakes.
Just as a last thought as we wrap this conversation, to me, it is so powerful as a reminder. Look, if we'll work on reconciling the little stuff, let it become a habit. Let reconciliation and healing and bringing peace become a habit in the little stuff every day as it comes up as sinful people live together. And as we develop that habit, it's just our default that we're always going to look for places to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, peace, and belonging. As we do that, it's like the little snowball rolling downhill. It becomes bigger and bigger part of our life, and it will encompass more and more of the broken places that maybe require a little bit more effort. Just a thought.
Amen. Thanks, Kim.
What a helpful and healing conversation that has been with Rob Reneau. He is the author of Healing Family Relationships, A Guide to Peace and Reconciliation. I hope that if this is something that has stirred in you a longing for peace and healing in your family, that you'll let Rob guide you through that process with this book, Healing Family Relationships. You can also find more about Rob at his website, and that is visionaryfam.com, visionaryfam.com. You can go there and visit. Thinking about this idea of reconciliation, just one more reason, maybe one more motive for us to take seriously the role of being the catalyst for reconciliation, for healing in our families. 2 Corinthians 5:18 is an interesting verse. It says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Christ gave us a ministry, and that ministry to all those who follow him is a ministry of reconciliation. Specifically, this verse is talking about the proclamation of the gospel, helping other people realize that they can have a relationship with God.
giving other people an assurance that forgiveness of sin is available in Christ, and through that, they can be reconciled to God, to have a relationship with Him. Jesus is the one who reconciles us. However, think about this, particularly in the context of our own family. If we are living in the midst of broken relationships or tense relationships or damaged relationships, then the most important message that we have to give, this proclamation of assurance of the forgiveness of our sins, will not be heard. We won't be able to fulfill our ministry of reconciliation, helping other people reconcile to God, if we cannot reconcile with one another. By keeping short accounts, by not letting the sun go down on our wrath, by not keeping a record of wrongs, by receiving forgiveness and offering forgiveness, we keep those relationships open, and we keep the door open for our greater ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, of proclaiming the gospel, of living the gospel, of helping other people embrace the gospel. Just one more incentive as we head into this season where we're going to be stepping into a lot of hustle, bustle, tenseness, maybe reuniting with people where there is that kind of friction that we might think about, as far as it depends on us, that we would be at peace with all men. I hope that encourages you this Christmas season. I hope that encourages you if you're listening to this after the new year or any time. God has given you such a wonderful ministry, but it has to start with keeping relationships healthy and whole. If you are looking for ways to do that within your own friend group or with the friendships you're trying to build with your family members, your adult children, your spouse, your parents, let me also point you to The Art of Friendship. It's the book that was released this year. I would love for you to get a copy of it. Maybe go through it with a friend to not only build relationships, but to heal relationships. So much practical help for everyday living with other people in that book. I hope you'll pick up a copy of The Art of Friendship. I loved writing it. I would love sharing it with you. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Art of Friendship podcast. Thanks for listening in. And for those of you who've told a friend about the Art of Friendship podcast, thanks. I appreciate that. I'd love to hear any feedback that you have on the program or what you'd like to hear more about as we dive in to the power of relationships. You can email me at info@kimweir.com. Until next time, keep friending with purpose.